Hi, everyone. This is a character background recording for the podcast Your Folk, where the folk of yore eventually become the folk of lore, who will be sung about for generations. They are the original heroes. My name is Dave Clapper. I'll be the DM for this podcast. My pronouns are he and him.
What up? I'm Dre Anderson. I go by he and him pronouns as well. My character, however, Drovis Kushin, uses they, them pronouns.
Awesome. And what is your character? Can you explain that real quick?
Oh, yeah. So Drovis Kushin, or he goes by the nicknames of Dro and or Kush, is a cannabinoid who uses they, them pronouns. They are 3 years old, about like 6 feet tall, and they originated from human genome testing.
Actually, it didn't. Humans aren't in this world. That's more from the gamma world thing. So you're just like a
mutation of marijuana.
Yeah.
Just like gained sentience over the last couple of generations.
Yeah. And your class, again, because that's also super homebrew that people probably don't know.
Oh, yeah. So my class, they're going to be part of the Mystic class. And their background's going to be more of that of a hermit, if that's what you're asking for.
Cool. But also, like, as opposed to like a spellcaster or a fighter, they are more psionics oriented, right?
Yes. My character does not actually have a mouth, so it only can communicate with others psionically. So yeah, no mouth, no sense of smell, an obvious weakness to fire. But yeah, they can speak by developing telepathic links with the people around them, and with more training, my character can build some serious abilities.
Nice.
The Mystic Order that we study under is the Order of the Immortal, and the beginning, these are just the base powers we get to start off with, are psionic restoration and diminution.
Awesome. Cool, thanks. All right, and we have a guest with us today, too.
My name is Riley Jean. I use they, them pronouns, and my role will be determined by the player's course of action.
Ooh. Ooh. All right. Cool. All right, so one other thing that I wanted to go over real quick, I've already talked to the two of you about it, but I also want to talk about it here. Just to make sure that everybody feels safe at the table at all times, the system that we're using for this is if somebody at the table feels uncomfortable at any point, they can just kind of hold up their hand, like a stop sign. And we'll pause the recording, we'll talk it out, figure out where we went off track, and then probably go back in and edit later so that everybody feels safe at the table at all times. Cool. So are you two ready to get started?
Yes.
Dope. Let's do it.
Awesome. So, Dre, I already talked to you about this. Can you just kind of describe for everybody where you're originally from, your original home? I know you've left that home, but...
Yes, actually my character's just in the process of leaving the home. Basically in the swamplands is where these creatures were able to find the right sort of nutrients to evolve into sentient beings. And though my character is only part of the third generation to be able to actually even move, there's a real herd-like mentality that happens there. They really stay pocketed in their plants, and they don't leave from the swamp. It's only every few generations or so one will develop wanderlust and decide to go and seek the world. And Drovis Kushin is the first of his tribe to do so.
Nice. So also, because it has been so recent, like there are still being born new pot plants.
They're born in two ways, and this is actually kind of cool. There are the plants that'll be reproducers that will continue to spawn and brew more life, and those will be non-sentient. They will be ones that actually the other sentient ones could mate with to produce more offsprings, which
they're
is cool.
They're like handmaids.
And just in case. So any number of the spores that are born can become sentient beings or non-sentient plants, which are just like what the tribe values more than anything. So right. They protect these things at all costs because this is the progestion of their community, their family and their livelihoods. So yeah, they stick to their really sheltered communities. They don't really break off. They have an intense fear of strangers. So yeah, there's some, they're, there are some factors that come into play over here, and and you might see him come into play during the campaign too.
Awesome.
From Drovis and how he interacts with people he doesn't understand.
Yeah, yeah. Awesome. So you said he's just in the process of leaving there now? Or they are just in the process of leaving there now?
Yes.
Okay, so they're still in the swamp.
We'll say they're on the outskirts of the swamp by the time these encounters are happening.
Do the Cannabinoid have a name for the swamps where they live, or... Mostly, I'm just thinking in terms of when I start drawing up a map, like what I'm going to put on the map other than an illustration of a swamp.
Yeah, they call it the Enclave.
Okay.
So both sentient and non-sentient cannabinoids will live together in a grove-like area. And, again, only once per year, cannabinoids can allow themselves to be germated. So, let you know, any year can happen with releasing the pollen.
Awesome.
To the seed pods.
And what is the climate like there? Is it something that has lots of seasons, or is it more kind of tropical? Or I'm just trying to get an idea of where I'm going to put it on.
Yeah,
the north,
actually,
south.
The swamps here, they're not really tropical. It's more damp.
Mm-hmm.
It's a darker region. There's not a whole lot of weather shifts and differences. It's a pretty temperate weather. You know, a lot of mist, a lot of rain.
Oh, almost like the Olympic rainforest, not too far from here.
Yeah, yeah. You see a lot of water, a lot of good nutrients.
Nice.
You know, enough to not only sustain the plant force around them, but their entire enclaves as well.
Yeah, well, there's a reason that Pacific Northwest is such a great growing region for pot, right?
Hey, we're out here for a reason.
That's why we made it legal, because it's so easy to grow.
One fun fact about cannabinoids are they live approximately 150 years.
All right.
So, you're seeing mine. They're able to start reproducing at the age of 2.
Okay.
And, I guess...
Will Kush be leaving any progeny behind?
We never know. I mean, there's only a matter of time. He has not yet at this point.
Right, they have not. Okay. Cool.
They have not yet at this point. Thank you. We're working on this together.
Yeah, right? Yeah, it's a change. Cool.
And one more fun fact. If, for whatever reason, Drovis Kushin would die, instead of the traditional death, it just becomes planted and becomes one of these pods. Yeah, so it still would have the sentience and the whatnot, but it wouldn't be able to move from that place and would still be able to live an additional 50 years or
like
so.
A trap.
Within that realm.
Used to be
realm.
Somebody. Wow, okay. That's really interesting. So, what is... think of like an autumn day and what... on the outskirts of the swamp now, of the enclave. What does Kush do, like, on kind of a typical day? Like, on an afternoon of an autumn day, what might Kush be doing?
Oh, man. Every day, Kush is just watching... You see Dro all around, just like seeing other sentient plant lives and just watching them go about their tasks, just observing and taking note of the things, just a real deep appreciation for life, the world around them.
Mm-hmm.
This is something still brand new to them and their people, and they only know so much, so this is an opportunity to learn and grow and just observe the way others react and interact. So, yeah, you might catch them watching the local flora or fauna just, like, growing in their own right.
All right.
Maybe walking around with their kids, like, you know, whatever whatever the local life is doing. Just engaging, learning. When something chooses to step up to Drovis to have an engagement, it's always a positive interaction.
Awesome.
Looking at it with, like, you know, the joys and wonders of youth.
Mm-hmm.
With, The ability to comprehend that of an adult, of course.
Cool. So one of the things that I had also asked you about beforehand was to think of something, and this is really interesting that you're still really in your youth in a lot of ways, that the other characters, you know, are at least young adults now. So I've been asking everybody to think back to something in their character's youth that struck them with awe, that, you know, was something that that happened that maybe kept coming to them in dreams afterwards.
Yeah, so it was a night of a storm. It's a big storm that was happening, which, you know, they're accustomed to within the region.
Mm-hmm.
But light struck from the skies, and it struck a tree, and it just erupted into fire.
Oh, wow.
And this is the first time that they had ever seen fire. So they were just mesmerized by it, terrified,
yeah,
yet in awe. And that's something that's always really stuck with Drovis, the destructive power that fire can bring, but also the beauty of its glow.
Okay. Was it, you said light from the sky, was it lightning or was it like a meteorite or what was it that actually hit, do you know?
That's a good question.
All right. But it's really the fire that struck Kush. All right. So, okay, cool. So you're appreciating everything around you on this autumn day. And there's no storm or anything. But it sort of feels the same again, that there's like kind of an electricity or something in the air. It's kind of shimmering, you know, like something's about to happen. It's kind of the same feeling that you have during a storm, but, you know, looking up at the sky, you don't see any clouds. You don't see anything that would suggest a storm, but it feels like the air is just vibrating and there are kind of these concentric circles of energy that you can kind of feel pulsing in towards you. And it's really intense, and I need you to make a constitution saving throw. So you take your con, whatever that is, whatever your modifier is, and you'll roll a 20 and you'll add your modifier to that.
Cool. Constitution is 16.
So that's plus 3, I think.
All right, I'm just going to double check.
Pretty sure that's plus 3. My kid told me it's whatever it is minus 10.
Would this be a discipline save?
No, it's cool. Just a constitution saving throw. Like, if you look... Oh, usually these little bubbles here.
Yeah,
I'm almost sure it's plus 3 for con, or for 16.
I'll believe that.
But I think it's, you take whatever it is, you subtract 10, you divide it by 2, is what one of my kids told me. So 10 is even, and then every 2 above that is plus 1 more.
I did that wrong, but we'll figure that out later.
Cool. So you roll a 20 and add 3 to it.
Well, plus 3 puts us at 15.
Nice. That's exactly what you needed. You just barely made it. The first two people who went through this both rolled 14.
No.
So you keep consciousness, and the world just continues to shimmer. And then there's like this explosion in this huge like willow tree near you that had like its branches dipping into the water, and it just erupts into flame. This huge flame, and the flame is. This sounds weird, but you sense that the flame, it is paying attention to you. That the flame is watching you. That it's not just a natural flame. This flame is watching you. And then you feel, as the smoke is coming around you, like these words form in your head. Oh, what did you call the flame when you saw it? Did you have a name for it? Because you didn't know it was fire. So it was just nameless.
The light.
The light? Okay, yeah. Cool. The light. Perfect.
Hello, my young nug. I come bearing a gift. Not so much as a gift, but words. Word gifts. Here are my word gifts. Okay, the world is in danger. You do not respond. I've looked at your people. I thought they could speak. I haven't gotten close enough to realize that it wasn't just like a weird shy thing. Okay. You're nodding? Good. Yes, we'll continue.
If you want to speak, you do have the telepathic connection with this fire.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Cool. The world is in danger. Peril knocks at the gate of fate. This danger has many names. It is a vast swarm that comes to snuff out the light that remains in this plane. It has destroyed countless worlds, and it will destroy countless more unless a hero rises to oppose them. and you will be this hero. I have watched you from a small sprout growing and getting stronger, not only in body, but in mind, in heart. And you are the first in a long line to desire this travel, this adventure. You have been chosen among others. So you will not be doing this alone. But my bets are on you, so you should probably try pretty hard, because I literally have bets on you. So if you die, then I lose, and you get it. Yes. This realm's peace requires a complete desolation, or expeltation, or evacuation, or you know, of this swarm. If it is not faced, then serenity will never again be found. Like this tree burning to ash, the world will fall. And now I grant you a token of my power on your journey. But be careful, sometimes I pop one of these off and then I'm out for days.
The smoke thickens around you, and it billows all around you. If you were a more typical breather, you would probably be choked by it, but it's smoke. And it's smoke that feels damp somehow, that you sort of feel washed over by. It's sort of like swamp water. It's brackish. It's sort of this thick green with like floating insects and stuff in it.
It feels nice.
Yeah, it is. It's warm and it washes over you. And you feel some of your female buds starting to flower. That among the different buds that you have, you know, the male ones are one part and the female ones are another part. And the female ones start to flower all over your body. These beautiful, deep, deeply colored purple flowers that look almost, they're beautiful, but they also look almost dangerous. Like, not a Venus flytrap kind of thing, but maybe more of a less cartoony version of like the plant from Little Shop of Horrors. You know what I mean? It's kind of this. It just, you have this sense that it could do something pretty bad. So you have these flowering buds now, and I will tell you that once per day, you would have to take a long rest for the flowers to regenerate this power that they have. They can cast the sleep spell. So once per day, the flowers of your body now have that ability.
Thank you for choosing me for this journey. I don't know why I felt like I needed to leave my village, but the Enclave just felt too small. They had about 20 members, and I felt like I needed to do something. I think this might be it. And where do I go?
Well, perhaps this will help. Lastly, I give you my most valuable and powerful asset that I have to offer. Heloise, my rabbit.
So this rabbit that almost looks like an amusement park rabbit that is walking like on 2 feet. And it's kind of goofy looking. Like, it almost walks like Goofy from Disney, actually. Walks out and has, like, this pink bow in her hair. And she's about your height. And so, yeah, this is Heloise. And Heloise is just, like, kind of waves at you.
He's sort of a messenger. You'll figure it out.
I wave back.
Heloise gives the thumbs up. And then kind of goes over and walks right into the fire, or is like, and waves to you like goodbye, and then walks into the fire.
Well, I look bewildered.
Cool. So the fire is kind of watching you for a little while longer. Doesn't seem like you have any more questions.
Oh, where do I go?
Your friend that you recently saw, Eloise, she'll show you where to go when the time is right.
So, into the fire?
No, I wouldn't walk into the fire, at least right at this moment.
Cool, I was a little nervous about walking in the fire.
Yeah, maybe you should take like a step or two back, actually. You're a little close.
That feels right. Mm.
And then the smoke starts... It's like it's being sucked back towards the fire. And the fire starts to, like, diminish down upon itself. Like, it's like reverse motion. It's like if somebody was playing a film backwards of the fire erupting, it's doing that until the fire is gone.
Remember, my bets are on you.
Can you make another constitution saving throw, please?
You are
a hardy, hardy plant, my friend. So yeah, you're kind of stunned by all of this, but yeah, you see it go, and you're still in the swamp, and or just on the outskirts of this of the enclave, and yeah, I mean that happened. You're pretty sure that happened. I mean, you look down and you see these purple flowers on your body, so it probably happened. Those weren't there before. What do you do with the rest of your day?
Man, that was crazy. I feel like I need to keep moving, though. Almost like there's a sense of urgency that I need to go now. Before, I was just content stopping and watching all of the rabbits, the turtles, just seeing how they're moving on their days and just exploring. But now I feel like there's someplace I have to be, but I don't know where. Another turtle.
You kind of pass the rest of the day like that. Like, you think about moving, and then you see another animal. You're like, oh, yeah.
I just kind of follow them to where they're going. Is that a deer?
Yeah. Until, you know, it comes to night, and you know you have to root again. You have to take root for the night. And you do that, and the dreams come almost instantly. You're out. I mean, it's been kind of a crazy day. There's a lot that you've had to take in, and your mind kind of wants to process it. And this is one of your favorite ways to process things with your mind, is just to nod off and root in the soil and take in the nutrients and see what those nutrients deliver to brain. And the dream that it delivers to you this time is that you're someplace you've never seen before. The terrain looks completely unfamiliar. And there is, in front of you, you've seen before, probably during that storm even, or after that storm, that some of the animals that got burnt by the fire, later, like, some of their fur, the ones that had fur, it just didn't really grow back quite. And so there were these patches on them that were kind of pink and scarred and just didn't really look natural because you were used to the fur and, but these things look like that everywhere. Like their entire bodies look like that pink scarred tissue. It just looks wrong to you. And it has a weapon that you haven't seen before, and you can tell that it is advancing on you. And then as in dreams, sometimes, you know, you kind of go out of body and you see the bigger picture, and around you, you see five more of those as well. But each one of them is facing off against some sort of animal. Some of them you've probably seen before. There's one that looks like a frog. There's one that looks like a raccoon. You probably haven't seen cats here before, but a couple of them look like cats. So similar to a raccoon, but like svelter and not the same colorings. And there's one creature that you've never seen anything like it before, that it is... enormous. It's a little bit bigger than you are, probably. And it's like kind of blubbery and has these long bony tusks coming out of its face. And doesn't seem to have hind legs. And all of them are also squaring off with these other pink scarred things. And just as you're about to be struck by the weapon of the pink scarred thing in front of you, you wake up. And you continue to have that dream. Every night when you take root, You know, every day you follow whatever animal you think would be, piques your interest and you think would be a good guide to take you to where you need to go.
Who's that, a fox?
Right, exactly. And yeah, so every day, and you're learning more about the world every day. It's really cool. You're seeing creatures you haven't seen before, and it's kind of awesome. And then finally one day, when you wake up, you see that big goofy rabbit, Heloise, standing in front of you. And she smiles, and then she kind of gestures like a "follow me," and then starts running off. What do you do?
I follow her.
Great. We are going to leave off there. That is the end of your character background session, and our next session will be with the full party.
Dope. See you Sunday.
Awesome. Thank you both. Do either of you want to promote anything where people can find you or anything like that? If yes, great. If no, don't worry about it.
Yeah, you know me. I'll be at Market Theater Fridays and Saturdays and doing my first theater sports this weekend. So come and check it out. Oh,
you haven't done your first one yet?
Yeah.
I thought you were already
done. Squad for a year and I'm doing that. Other than that, if you want karaoke, come on out to Ozzy's on Monday or Tuesday or Sneaky Tiki on Sundays. You can catch us. You might even be able to see us live leaving one of these podcast streams.
That's right.
If you come early enough.
Awesome. Cool. Anything for you, Riley? Are you good?
Yeah. You can catch me at Freehold Engage Theater. We open late July. Wow, that's next week that we start tour.
Wow.
That's crazy. And I don't know, just follow me on Instagram.
Awesome.
Riley_Gene.
Cool. And you can find me on Twitter at An Hour of Play, and I'll also be appearing soon in Improvised Vonnegut at the Market Theater on Sunday nights.
Hey.
Thanks, y'all. Hope you tune in for the full episodes. And yeah, I don't actually know when this is going to be released, but hopefully in time that those promotions actually mean something. Thanks, y'all. Bye.